We've been talking about defeating giants. And for our visitors here, that's why this little lesson with the kids about giants. Everybody has giants. Everybody's got them. How many have a giant in your life? Everybody's got them. And we've been teaching about giants, and we've been saying that back when David was here, they called their giant Goliath. But today we call them different things: stress, depression, anxiety, broken relationships, hopelessness, helplessness, despair. How many have at least one giant in your life? Well, what Sissy and I did was we took a bunch of index cards and we passed it out, and we had people fill them out and return them with giants in their life. And we comprised a bunch of them. There were like 20 of them. And this one we're talking about, we bring again this week, as we started last week, is a giant of jealousy. Anybody ever been jealous in your life? How many know jealousy is not a good thing? It's just not a good thing. And we have to learn to control that. Okay, so everybody turn your Bibles to Proverbs 27, verse 4.
Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy?
We talked last week that anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Jealousy affects how many people?
Everybody.
Everybody becomes jealous of somebody at some point in their life. Let's go to James 3:16. We're just skinning it along here until I get to where I want to be. James 3:16.
For wherever there is jealousy or selfish ambition, there will be disorder and every other kind of evil.
The fact is, they have seven deadly sins. And they made a list of sins that were the most deadly of all. And murder's not on that list. That probably surprises you, huh? Murder's not on that list. If you say to somebody, what is the most egregious sin a person could ever commit, you can be sure somebody's going to say murder. That's not on the list. There are seven deadly sins, and murder's not one of them. What they have concluded was, well, what sin leads to other sin? What in a person's life can lead to other kinds of sin? For example, anger. What can anger lead to? That can lead to murder. Right? Well, one of the seven is jealousy. Jealousy can lead to a whole bunch of not so good stuff. How many's ever been jealous in this room? How many know jealousy leads you to do other things that you would not normally want to do? So we talked about jealousy last week, and we said, you know, who can stand before jealousy? I'm going to scoot through these. I'm going to get to where I want to be. Genesis 37:4.
When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him.
Yeah, we talked last week and we said that Joseph and his brothers, we said that his brothers thought that Joseph's father loved him more. Have you ever felt like someone loved somebody else more than you? How many parents in this room? All right, I want to tell you a story. There was once a woman, and she was receiving an award. And she was getting an award for the Mother of the Year. And she was a single ma. Her husband had passed away, and she was raising six kids. And she educated all six of the kids. All six of the kids. She educated them all. And she was getting an award for that, because she worked really hard, and she was getting an award as a Mother of the Year. And a person was interviewing her and said to her, Wow, you raised these six kids by yourself? And she said, I had help of my church and everything. Well, yeah, I raised my kids. And she said, and you got them all through school? Well, with God's help, I got them all through school. And she said, you must have loved those kids equally, all the same. And the Mother of the Year turned to her and said, well, no, I didn't. And the reporter who was interviewing her said, well, wait a second. You didn't love them the same? You mean you loved your kids differently? And this reporter was kind of taken aback by that. And she said, well, yeah. And she said, I don't understand. And the Mother of the Year said, oh, that's simple. You see, I love the one that was down until he was up. I love the one that was sick until he was well. I love the one that stumbled until he walked the path. I loved them, but I did not love them all the same at the same time. How many mothers agree with that? And so they were looking at Joseph, and they thought that Joseph's father loved him more. And they became what? Jealous. His brothers were what? Read that for me, Brother Herm.
His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind.
How many parents we have in this room love your kids? How many of you lay your life down for any of your kids? How many love them differently at different times? It's the way it is. That's the way life works. How many siblings here? How many had siblings? How many were jealous of your siblings sometimes? There was a pastor, he was teaching the Ten Commandments. And he was teaching the Ten Commandments to a bunch of kids. And he said to the kids, well, you know, one of those Ten Commandments is to honor thy father and honor thy mother. And then he said, do you think there should be a commandment for brothers and sisters? This little boy raised his hand and said, there is one, there is one. And the pastor said, I don't, really? There's a commandment about your brothers and sisters? And the little boy said, yeah, thou shalt not kill. How many understand that? How many had a brother or sister? You'd have traded him in on a pony if you could have got away with it. 1 Samuel 18:7.
As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands.
You see, Saul and David were coming back from victory and all of the women were outside having a parade. And they were singing a song. And the first stanza of the song said as they danced, Saul has slain in the thousands. Oh, and that makes Saul feel pretty good. Oh, yeah. I've slain in the thousands. And then they got this verse 2. And David has slain what? In the tens of thousands. And Saul was probably thinking, I wonder what verse 3 has to say. Maybe there's a verse 3 in their hearts. Well, maybe verse 3 goes, and David is better than Saul. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Let me show you this. There's always going to be somebody bigger than you. There's always going to be somebody prettier than you. There's always going to be somebody smarter than you. There's always going to be somebody who runs faster than you. There's always going to be somebody who thinks better than you. Even as we talk to the kids, there's going to be somebody who does math better than you. But guess what? God loves you the same. He loves you the same. But Saul said, oh, this is not good. And from that point on, 1 Samuel 18:9, look what it says, Brother Herm.
And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David.
See, when you're jealous of somebody, you keep your eye what?
On
them. You always keep your eye on them. Because they may get something you ain't got. They might get some praise that you didn't get. They might be lifted up and you didn't. From that day forward, Saul what?
Kept his eye
on him. You know, when you're jealous of somebody, you know you keep your eye on them. How many know when you're jealous of somebody, you keep your eye on them? You got to watch them. You got to watch where they go. Watch what they say. Watch what they think. Oh, when you're jealous of somebody, guess what? You keep your eye. How many got your eye on somebody even as I bring this message? I wonder how many people go home and keep their eye on somebody. What good is that doing you? James 3:14-15. Now we're up to speed. James 3:14-15.
But if your heart is full of bitter jealousy and selfishness, don't brag or lie to cover up the truth. That kind of wisdom doesn't come from above. It is earthly and selfish and comes from the devil himself.
Woo. That's some pretty big stuff. Where's jealousy come from, church? Mm-hmm. Let's analyze jealousy at its core this morning, so we're about to speed now. Jealousy in its core is always suspicious. Always suspicious. Doesn't trust. Always wonders. Never ever content. Always afraid. How many's ever been in that situation before? You see, jealousy at its core is suspicious. Imaginations in the mind act as the fertilizer of this suspicious jealousy. Imaginations in the mind. There's a song If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a... And I married Sissy. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. I won't finish that. Sissy's finishing it though. And so from my personal point of view, I'm not going to say it. I know you're thinking it. Imaginations are the fertilizer in your mind that causes the jealousy to fester until it's an open sore, pouring out all over your relationships. How many know exactly what I'm talking about? Imaginations. It's not the fact, it's what you think. It's what you feel. Some of us in this room can imagine the most horrific things. And then when you plant that seed in the fertile soil of your mind, and that jealousy starts kicking in, guess what you get? Suspicious. Suspicious of everybody's motives. Suspicious of everybody's actions. Suspicious of everybody talking to somebody. Oh, yes. The second thing we need to do to explore the whole concept of jealousy is jealousy feels threatened. Always feels threatened. And we don't know how to fight that. We don't know how to fight jealousy. You know, I took martial arts for many, many years, and I know how to protect myself. I just don't know how to protect my jealous heart sometimes. How many say amen to that? Amen. So what do you do with that? I mean, you know how to protect yourself from your physical oncoming, but how do you protect yourself from a jealous heart? How do you do that? You know what some people do? Spread gossip. That's what they do. They spread gossip. They talk about the person you're jealous about. Anybody in this room ever been gossiped about? How many know that's not cool? My daughter Shauna's raising both of her hands. I want to tell you about one of the principles that you need to understand. It's called the principle of reciprocity. And what it basically says is what goes around comes around. You plant gossip, guess what they're going to do?
You're going to get talked about.
You're going to get talked about. You will be the one who gets talked about next. Some of the weapons we use with jealous hearts is gossip. Did you know that people can be jealous of things too? Anybody ever been jealous of a thing? There's a man I researched. His name is John Oreski. And he's a musician who played with some great bands and orchestras. And his instrument, primary instrument, that he was so good at was the flute. His wife was so jealous of his talent and so jealous of his opportunity that he had to play the flute. She decided she couldn't take it anymore. And she decided to leave John. Her name was Sarah. She wanted to leave John and took all her clothes and went back and grabbed the flute. Some of us can be jealous of things. Jealous of things. Anybody ever been jealous of a thing? The third thing you want to know about jealousy is it always accuses. Jealousy always accuses. You know, the interesting thing about jealousy is that in our judicial system, you are innocent until you are proven. With a jealous heart, it's opposite. With a person with a jealous heart, no, you are guilty. Until you can prove to me what? You're innocent. Ain't that something? You're guilty till what? You can prove that you're not. You see, jealousy always accuses. So how are we going to be able to conquer this giant in our life? How are we going to get rid of this intruder that bothers us? How many know jealousy can wreck your life? Consumed with worry, consumed with anxiety. How are we going to be able to beat this giant? I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5.
We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
A couple named Sam and Jacqueline Pritchard started receiving some phone calls anonymously. Call, hang up, call, hang up, call, hang up. And then the anonymous call started to become a little bit more verbal. Anger. And so what Sam and Jacqueline Pritchard did was they changed their phone number to an unlisted one, thinking problem was solved. Then they started getting letters in the mail. Very angry letters in the mail. Not signed by anybody. Very angry. And then they started getting scratch marks on their car. One day they woke up, tires were punctured. Well, one day, just as fate would have it, Sam was going outside and there was a man named James McGee, 53-year-old man. True story. James McGee was just about to puncture some more tires when Mr. Pritchard came out. And Mr. Pritchard said, "What are you doing? What are you doing to my car?" And you know what Mr. McGee said? "Oh my gosh, you're the wrong Mr. Pritchard." He was mad at the wrong Mr. Pritchard. You see, what you have to do is you need to examine what you're thinking. What you need to do is demolish arguments and every pretension that sets us up against the knowledge of God and take captive. And take captive those thoughts that you get and make them obedient unto the Lord. How many have a creative imagination in this room? How many have that endless CD player of a brain that runs full time? How many of you would like to pull the plug on that thing someday? I was our grandkids all stayed at our house tonight, last night. And I went downstairs and, you know, my hearing is kind of not all that good. Much like Al's, we play all this live music. And my ears are not that good. And I go downstairs in our living room where all the grandkids are sleeping. I hear something. I know I hear this. I hear this. What is that? And I'm looking all around going, what is that? I'm serious. It's going. I'm tracing this down. I walked in to where my grandkids, by the way, they all started in different, well, three girls started in one room and two boys started in the other room. I went downstairs. They're all in the same room. They're all sleeping on this inflatable mattress. And I hear this. And I think it's what they call white noise. How many ever heard of white noise? Where's Riley? Riley, was that white noise? Is that what that was? I was nothing white about it. It's like a bunch of static. And now that I know what it was, some people put on white noise to sleep. How many understand that's what you do? You put on white noise to sleep. It's just static. It's just static, right? And so it blocks out what? All the noise where? On the outside. But who's blocking the noise on the inside, church? Who's blocking the noise on the inside? How many know your noise ain't from the outside? Your noise is from the inside. How many's got some noisy brains at night when you lay your head down? How many's got that chatter just doesn't shut up? How many's got that chatter? Run and run and run and run. And we spend all kind of money. We go buy those waterfall machines. We buy those hymns, amazing, and all that waterfall and bird sound. We get all that white noise. And how many know your brain doesn't shut up? You know, you buy one of them waterfall machines, you're afraid the thing will light you on fire at night and have a short in it. You know what you got to do? Get on your knees. Don't worry about that waterfall with the sign. Get on your knees and pray to the Lord. When you cannot sleep and that brain keeps on going and all that noise and all that chatter, you know what you do? You don't lay there and listen to it. You get up and be on your knees and talk to God. Amen. That's how you beat it. You turn the imaginations off. Turn it off. Second thing we need to do is we let Jesus to be our greatest love. Turn to Matthew 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37.
Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul and with all your mind.
Yes. You know what true jealousy is? It makes you more obsessed with the person than you are with the Lord. That's worth repeating one more time. You see, a jealous heart makes you more obsessed with the person than you do with the Lord. How many love people in this room? How many loves at least somebody in this room? Who loves somebody, at least somebody in this room? Perfect, honest, that's great. How many of you ever been jealous of that person at least one time in your life? Who's ever been jealous one time in your life? Awesome. That's great. Thanks for being honest with me. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 5.
Love is kind and patient, never jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. Love isn't selfish or quick-tempered. It doesn't keep a record of wrong things that others do.
Ooh, love is not what? Jealous. It's not up there. Love is not jealous. How many of you can remember one thing that somebody you love hurt your feelings? How many can remember that? One thing. One simple thing. Somebody hurt your feelings who loved you. How many can remember? Let's see. How many can remember? Put your hands down. You got a problem.
Yeah.
Y'all got a problem. Love keeps no records. Why do you still know it? What should you have done with that a long time ago? Get rid of it. We need to understand that what we need to truly understand is that we need to have no other gods before us. None, just God. And those people you're jealous of need to be on the bottom. And then what should you do with those individuals? And that's the third thing. Give them to the Lord. You have some insecurity. Who's got insecurity in this room? You got some insecurity in your heart? You give them up to the Lord. You let the Lord deal with it. You let the Lord deal with it. Psalm 84:11.
The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk in is blameless.
No good things does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. I want you to think back with me, brothers and sisters, those individuals for which you have a jealous heart. And I want you to think as best as you can those things that you're concerned about. I want you to think about those things you are concerned about. What are you really saying about the person you love when you think those things? What are you really thinking about that person? There's kids here, so I'm not going to go into great detail. But do you know what you're thinking about the person you say you love when you think these things? Do you know what you're thinking? Do you know what you're saying when the imaginations run rampant over that person that you say you love? Do you know what you're saying they are capable of doing when you think those things? How many didn't marry somebody like that? I married a godly wife. How many have a godly spouse? And quit imagining those things. Just knock it what? Off. Let's turn to James chapter 3, verses 14 to 17.
But if your heart is full of bitter jealousy and selfishness, don't brag or lie to cover up the truth. That kind of wisdom doesn't come from above. It is earthly and selfish and comes from the devil himself. Whenever people are jealous or selfish, they cause trouble and do all sorts of cruel things. But the wisdom that comes from above leads us to be pure, friendly, gentle, sensible, kind, helpful, genuine, and sincere.
How many want to have those gifts? That's what I want. All of those of you who told me that you were jealous from time to time, how many of you would admit that doesn't do you any good at all? How many of you know that does your relationships not any good either? Not good at all. You know, a thing that we all learned when we were kids growing up, and I know that most of my brothers and sisters in this room will know that, it's a thing that we've been told all of our lives, that if you really truly love somebody, you need to set them what?
Free.
And if they come back, they're yours. And if they don't, guess what? They weren't yours anyhow. Anybody that's secure in your relationship, you can just simply say, you know what, I love you, I pray for you, I give you up to the Lord. I hope and pray you're here with me every single day. That's the kind of relationship that we all need to have, isn't it? Isn't that the kind of relationship we need to have? How many know the Lord's going to protect your heart anyhow?
Yeah.
The Lord will guard your heart. The Lord will guard your heart. So what you need to do is enjoy yourself. It's not in the Bible, but it should be Hakuna Matata. I think it might be Greek or Hebrew. I'm not sure. I'll talk to my Bible theologian, Pastor Colin. Hakuna Matata.
I think it's in the book of Hezekiah.
The book of Hezekiah. Right, the book of Hezekiah. Does anybody know what Hakuna Matata means? Don't worry. Be happy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for guarding our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for giving us people to love. We thank you, Lord, this morning for friends. We thank you, Lord, for spouses and brothers and sisters and kids and grandkids. We thank you, Lord, for new visitors here today. Lord, may we love everyone in this place, not with a smothering, confined kind of love, but in a free kind of love. Lord, you got it all covered anyhow. Lord, you've been watching over us for a long time. So, Lord, we just ask for you to take away this demon of jealousy that we have sometimes. Just throw it away, Lord. We don't need it. We don't need it. Lord, if someone in this room today is having a problem with that giant, we just confine it right now. We just bind it by the name of Jesus. We bind that jealous demon and we just get rid of it right now. We don't need it. And all of God's children said,